The following is an exclusive sports presentation of Extra Sports 1300.
Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
Southern Colorado, it's time for your live and local sports talk show.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
Drive Time Sports, presented by Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery, your sports action hub with over 54 TVs so you don't miss out on the action, located at Woodman and I-25. The only place to hear talk about your teams.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh man, I hate those guys.
Here are your hosts, Ryan Kaufman and Chris Braden, with the godfather of Colorado Springs Sports Radio, Wheels.
Good Monday and welcome to Drive Time Sports. I'm Ryan, Chris alongside. We are live for the first of 3 days at Air Force Falcons Camp. We're out here courtesy of Interstate All Battery Center. Interstate All Battery Center, outrageously dependable, and we hope to be dependable over the next 3 hours for your sports news and chatter. Now joined by the head coach of the Air Force wrestling team, Sam Barber. Coach, good to meet you. Glad to have you on today.
Thanks for having me, Ryan and Chris.
So year four, is this what we're going into for you this year?
Year four as a head coach, ninth year affiliated with the program.
Right, and obviously you've been, and like you said, you've been around this program, and these kids that were seniors last year, you know them and everything like that. But now this is the first year where all four classes are truly yours as a head coach. Does that add any significance to you at all, or do you think you've been around the program so much that you just felt like these have been your kids for years?
I think there's transitions when you have a change in a head coaching position. I think we kind of went through that a little bit. But, yeah, I think, now, I've been the relationship's a little bit different. I've probably been in every one of these young men's families' living rooms. You know, it's been me personally, and, the relationship started there. And, they know who I am. I know who they are. And, that part of it's just a little bit better because what they're expecting, out of me as a head coach, I'm pretty consistent that way. And, what I expect out of them, they know that come forth. So it's been good.
And you talk about putting your own imprint on the program. What are some of the things that when you got this job 4 years ago that you wanted to you don't want to fix what's not broken, right? Because your predecessor did a pretty dang good job. But what are some of the things that you – hope to instill on this program and that you've instituted over the last few years?
For us, again, it wasn't broken. So it was just like anything, you take over a good program and you try and build on it. So I was part of the growth and development of the program the 5 years prior to taking over as the head coach. So really just late, some things had changed, when we took the program over. We took the program over under sequestration. So, we had to do things a little bit different. Fundraising became an important part of it. So that's been a major focus. We joined the Big 12 Conference. That's been a tremendous, change and challenge. So we've kind of had to evolve into that. But really, it's just to continue, my philosophy is, hard work, hard work overcomes a lot of things. So we really focus on that a lot, just, ownership and personal accountability, hard work. And we put together a pretty good plan, pretty good structure. We believe in the mission of the institution. So we have a 3.0 across the board, MPA, GPA, and PEA. We're the number two teams on campus this year in community service hours. So, we have a pretty big just an idea that who you are anywhere is who you are everywhere. So excellence doesn't just happen in the wrestling room. It just doesn't happen up on the hill in the classroom. We want our guys to excel everywhere. And then the big thing, is where we're going to be measured is down the road when these guys pin on second lieutenant bars and they get out in the Air Force and they start doing the things that they're paid to do.
So, Coach, we talk about recruiting all the time on our show. It's football and basketball. It's totally different than wrestling. With wrestling, you see a lot of these kids a lot because – most tournaments, there's multiple schools, multiple wrestlers there. How is it different to recruit a wrestler than it is in some of the other sports?
Yeah, I guess I don't see the difference that much, especially for us. We're in a Power 5 conference. Mm-hmm. So, being affiliated with the Big 12 has gotten us in the living rooms of some of the best kids in the country.
Right.
Our task past two recruiting classes have been ranked in the top 20 in the nation. So, you know, we're competing against highly sought after recruits. So, you know, our ability to go in there and market what our program and institution can do for these people and what life looks like after college, you know, making a 40-year decision, not a 4-year decision, is a big deal. But, you know, for us, it's football, basketball. I mean, really, I don't see a difference in any of the sports, you know, anymore with Division I athletics. It's highly competitive to get the very best athletes and also the ones that, you know, have a desire to get a world-class degree and have a good life after college.
Right. Well, I guess the thing I was kind of getting at is that when you go to these tournaments and there's multiple schools there, you get your eyeballs on these kids a lot sooner and a lot younger. And and with wrestling, and it might not be different, but there's no really professional wrestling league that it's, they come here to the academy to wrestle. And it seems like these guys would just salivate at the opportunity to serve in the Air Force when they're done playing.
Yeah. I think, you know, again, but the blue chip athletes, they have the same, they want to play at the next level, right? They want to play, the basketball players want to play in the NBA, the football players want to play in the NFL. Well, the best wrestlers in the country, they want to wrestle in the Olympic Games. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for us, you know, providing that opportunity with our connection to the Olympic Training Center, the world-class athlete program, you know, just that avenue exists. Obviously, we want people with service on their heart and that are here because they truly want to serve their country. Sometimes if that happens to be that they serve their country by wearing, you know, Air Force on a singlet in the Olympic Games, you know, we can provide that avenue. But
right.
Again, like, so the Olympics, the NFL, you know, the best athletes in the country, they want to compete on the world's biggest stage, whatever that might be for them in their individual sports.
Air Force wrestling coach Sam Barber joining us here, Drive Time Sports, live from Falcons camp. Troy Calhoun's bunch getting ready to take the field here on a Monday. Let's talk about some of the wrestlers in particular that you have on this team. Tyler Wiederholt, did I nail it? Nailed it. He led your team in wins as a freshman. You don't want to set expectations too high because you still have so much time left with him. But how much better can he be this year?
He's a great kid, and he's one of the kids for, you know, like we talk about academy kids. It's you know, his family, mom and dad, are both 20 plus years in the Air Force. So very rarely do you come across somebody that has that kind of pedigree in service that also had, you know, a 3.89 GPA, but was also a blue chip recruit. So, you know, he's the epitome of academy kids, and we start looking for those in the recruiting process. And he's got a huge upside. You know, he's at a very competitive weight class for us. You know, Alex Lupachansky is back, who's been national ranked the last 2 years. Ricky Padilla's at that weight class, who knocked off two national ranked wrestlers last year. Actually beat Kellen Torres of Northern Colorado to help us beat Northern Colorado in our final Big 12 dual meet of the year last year. So 165, 174, we have some great depth. But Andrew Wiederholt is definitely a guy that's going to be in the mix there probably. And if he's not, if it's not immediately, it's going to be the future for sure.
Anthony McLaughlin is another name. I know that things really clicked for him last year. I like to do math, so I'm just extrapolating. Okay, freshman year is this, a sophomore. So 24-10. I got him at this year. Is that about where you'd like him to be?
This year coming up?
Yeah.
Oh, I think he'd be much better than
okay.
that. Yeah. Yeah. So Anthony, you know, he had some real nice wins for us last year. He grew a ton tremendously. We have some great workout partners for him in our room through our RTC and our volunteer coaches. But Anthony went to the University Nationals in the spring in April, and he got all the way to the semifinals, and he was 15 seconds away from being in the finals. But along the way, he beat, you know, a national qualifier. He beat a guy that's Ben Darmstadt from Cornell, who people think pretty highly of. So, you know, Anthony put himself on the map a little bit in spring wrestling, but in his dedication and determination he showed this summer, his commitment to training is going to make a big difference too. So we think Anthony's going to be a guy that's going to do big things. Another, you know, important thing to know both about Wiederholt, Anthony, and a lot of our guys is that the NCAA national championships are in Cleveland, Ohio this year, and Anthony McLaughlin's from St. Ignatius High School in Cleveland, Ohio. So his motivation to get home and wrestle in the NCAA National Championships in front of the home crowd is extremely high.
So what is your schedule like? How often do you have these guys at this time of year?
We have them quite a bit. You know, again, with these guys, they've committed – to an RTC training camp in the summer. You know, we have the OTC that had the World Team training camp here. Our guys were down there training at that. We had an overflow camp for that. So our guys are getting on the mat, you know, 12 months a year. And again, this regional training center really helps in that. But we have a great schedule, and we have a good schedule calls here at the academy where we're able to train in the mornings and the afternoons.
And you look at the conference, we've mentioned a few times, you guys compete in the Big 12, and the Big 12 is 12 this year, right? Because Fresno State and Northern Iowa coming into the mix, so I guess it's not getting any easier for you guys.
It's a premier conference, yeah. And we love it. You know, we thrive on that. It's definitely raised our level of competitiveness. You know, we look a little bit different. You know, there's 11 fully funded state schools in that conference and one service academy. But, you know, our guys, you know, we had three guys medal at the Big 12 championships last year. You know, we've had guys compete at the highest level in recent years, and Colvano and Josh Martinez, who are both ranked or seated third and fourth at the NCAA championships. But we love it. It's going to be great. It's going to be great for a local Colorado Springs community. We're going to be bringing teams like West Virginia, Oklahoma State to town. Not this year. It'll be West Virginia's on our schedule, but there will be a rotation where those Big 12 teams, traditional Big 12 teams, will cycle through. But South Dakota State's a top 25 team. They're on our schedule this year. Northern Colorado's getting better all the time. Utah Valley, West Virginia, we're at home with them. And then also Utah Valley already. Cal Poly's coming in from the West Coast, and then our schedule is being released tomorrow, but includes four or five premier dates. You know, the first one being Fresno State on the deck of the Midway in the San Diego Harbor.
Oh wow!
Yeah, so it's going to be a premier event. It's going to be great. Even the week prior to that, we're going to be wrestling the Minnesota Golden Gophers, the Big Ten Conference. Right. Two premier tournaments of the Southern Scuffle and the Cliff Keen. Vegas Invitational, and then the All Academy Championships where we see Army and Navy, and then the Big 12 Championships in Tulsa again.
It's a little bit more nuanced than this, I'm sure, but we always talk about, you know, with football, the Commander-in-Chief Trophy, right, wanting to be Army and Navy. The All Academy Championships, where does that rank in terms of your season goals to go out there and get a win over those kind of schools?
Yeah, you know, well, Army and Navy, they have mottos, right? The Army has sink Navy, and Navy has beat Army. Well, Air Force has beat everyone. So that's our motto. You know, and again, and if we only got our sights set on Army and Navy, we're going to fall pretty short in the Big 12. Mm-hmm. So it's important. You know, we won that tournament 2 years ago. We've been, you know, the first through third's been separated by less than 3 points the other 2 years. We've been leading the last 2 years going into the finals, and we haven't been able to secure that, close it out. But it's important if you're a service academy to have those rivalries. So it's definitely something that we don't schedule a competition the week prior to that, so we can get a little bit of rest, recovery, and extra training in. So we want to compete well there, but again, like, they can sink Navy and beat Army, but we want to beat everyone.
Well, make sure you look out for the wrestling schedule at GoAirForceFalcons.com. Expecting, as Coach Barber mentioned, 2 years in a row now, they've been ranked in the top 20 when it comes to recruiting classes. So some special kids coming into the academy, and big things coming for the Air Force Falcons in the Big 12 this season. Sam Barber, appreciate you coming up and joining us, and we hope to catch up as we get a little bit closer to the first duel of the year.
Appreciate you having me. Appreciate your support of Falcon Sports.
Yep, it's our pleasure. Thanks, Sam Barber, head coach Air Force Wrestling, joining us here on Drive Time Sports.
Colorado Springs, what's going on? Jim Rome here. Catch me in the jungle weekdays 10 to 1 on Extra Sports 1300.
Drive Time Sports live from Falcons Camp, presented by Interstate All Battery Center. Outrageously dependable. Ryan and Chris back with you here on Extra Sports 1300. Outside the Hack here, the Holiday Athletic Center on the campus of the Air Force Academy. Keeping it rolling with our Falcon coach interviews, and one of the more popular guys on campus, apparently. Head men's basketball coach Dave Pilipovich joins us. Coach, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Excited to be here. Thanks for having me on. There's our players right there running, doing a conditioning program. They're excited or outside running. How about that today?
They look real excited, Coach.
They do. Don't they? Those are only the guards.
Oh, I was going to say.
They look small out there, right?
Yeah.
Those are big guys.
Well, I know in the Mountain West,
sure,
there are some guys that make you look a little bit smaller no matter what. But
I hear you.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Nobody fell down.
Yeah,
that's a good
nobody
thing.
Hit our vehicle that is parked out front. So, we're all good. So, 6 years now.
Yes.
As
did you say 60? Six.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. My follow-up question was, does it feel like 60?
Oh, my gosh. No, it's been all good. It's great. What a great place to be, right?
Yeah.
What a great place to be and to work with. Look at all these cadet athletes out here now training and working and a beautiful day. Great place to live and great place to work.
Well, as you look at this team coming into this season, I know you guys gave us glimpses.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And I'm sure that you feel the same way last year. You know, that first-round game against Wyoming in the Mountain West Conference, that was a lot of fun. And, and it just kind of – I guess what I was going to ask you is – that we got a glimpse, right? That's the team that you hoped going into the year. No
question. And if there's one word to describe last year, it was inconsistent. Mm-hmm. You know, we were just up and down. But that team that went out 25-0 on a good Wyoming team to start the Mount West Conference tournament and then play and finish that game, that was what we were hoping for. And I take responsibility that we just never got it to where it needed to be. And I'm hoping because of our off season and the summer we've had a change in bodies, a change in attitudes, a change in commitment. And it's been a pleasure to be around these guys this summer and what they're doing, and I'm excited about where we're heading.
Well, and then you have a group of seniors who have been playing significant minutes since they were a freshman, and that's also got to help with that.
It does, and stay healthy. We got to stay healthy, knock on wood. But we do. We do have four really good seniors, Ryan Manning being in that junior class with Dane and Purvis, and then we have a good group of freshmen who turned to sophomores who played quite a bit as the season went on last year. So we're really enthused about that group as well.
And with Hayden Graham, we know as accomplished of a basketball player at the academy as we've had in recent memory. Now with him gone, does that result in this team becoming even more backcourt oriented? Do you think?
You know, I think so. You know, Hayden did a lot for us, and we asked a lot of him as an undersized big man at times. He played in that four position, but he's a perimeter player. Shot it really well and scored it. But I think our focus now goes to the perimeter, and I think we're bigger on the perimeter. We have some bigger guards that can play in those 1, 2, 3 spots, and now our 4 and 5 will not be as small as we've been in the past. We'll be younger, but we'll be 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", and we need it to get and grow and get bigger.
Joined by Air Force men's basketball coach Dave Pilipovich here on Drive Time Sports. So what I want you to tell Frank is I want you to rebound more, foul less.
No question.
Because he's the guy that can match up with these Cameron Oliver-sized human beings that you have coming in.
But you're exactly right. He can't get a foul 30 feet from the basket.
Right.
And then look at me, like, what'd I do? Well, you pushed the guy. Okay, they're going to call that, Frank. Right. But you're right. Frank's such a great young kid, though. You know, we still call him a kid. He's a young man. And he's got a 3.7 GPA somewhere around there. I mean, he's high threes. And he's an engineering kid. He wants to fly. He's doing all kind of things. And he makes some people look bad in the league, some really good players. And he just plays with all heart and all hustle.
Mm-hmm. Dave Pilipovich joining us here on the show. So, you know, being around you coaches as much as I try to be or have to be more accurately.
Have to be.
You know, you can tell, Troy can get a little bit grizzly at times. Frank, even when he's joking with you, kind of comes off mean.
Yeah.
I know Chris at times, your counterpart on the women's program. But you are, and I mean this sincerely, one of the most affable coaches around here. But I know that you get mad. So let me ask you.
Ask my daughter.
What gets
or my wife.
Pilipovich angry? What gets you angry?
Lack of effort.
Yeah.
Lack of effort, not lack of execution, because you're going to have that, but lack of effort at times. And we don't have that a lot from our guys, but there's some days where, you know, they're tired, and they come down from the hill, and they're tired, and our effort's not great, so that gets me a little bit mad. I just think lack of focus, maybe, at times, a simple mistake because we've drilled it, we filmed it, we walked through it, and then we go to execute it, and we forget it. And that bothers me at times, but you know what? You got to move on. Next play, you got to move on. You got to get better from that. And the other thing that bothers me is when my wife or daughter or son take my car and they dirty it, they sloppy it.
What about if they don't put gas in it?
Don't put gas in it, and there's wrappers in it, and empty cups and cans. That really ticks me off, let me be honest.
So, Coach, that happens. These are students, and they, let's say they come down the hill, and they're just kind of like, you know, they're in a lull. They're just having maybe not a bad day, but right. they're just not. Do you have a go-to to
well,
get them up
yeah,
again?
You know, you've got to get something energized, music and practice and stretching early.
Right.
Put some music on. Let them bounce around a little bit. A few shooting drills early because they always like shooting drills. Mm-hmm. Something to get them going. Pick up enthusiasm and then carry it on through there.
So, Coach, since I've been watching you here the last 6 years, you've had, like, different kinds of teams. Like,
right.
All the teams have kind of been a little bit different. And I know that all the kids are awesome. So when you're bringing kids in to the academy, you're bringing in these quality character guys. And you already said it this, you're going to be more of a perimeter team. Like, what do you look for when you're going out and recruiting these kids?
Guys that have toughness can make shots. Tough because – as bad as you are on the defensive end, and they score two, if you can make a three, that helps. Mm-hmm. So you've got to be able to shoot the basketball. We've got to get guys maybe not as quick or as athletic, but can make shots and stretch defenses. And then a toughness. If the ball's rolling on the floor, they won't think about diving for it. They'll be on the floor for it. So that's what we need, toughness and shooters.
Mm. You talked earlier about some of the younger guys that got a lot of playing time mm-hmm. last year, guys that have come out of the prep school and everything mm-hmm. like that. And you look at guys like Sid Tomes, and you mm-hmm. look at guys like Lavelle Scotty. Are you going to be looking at those guys like, okay, you had a nice year last year, it's time to take a bigger jump?
No question.
This year, yeah.
No question. I think they have. Lavelle Scotty's body has changed so much in the last 6 months, how stronger he's gotten. And we're moving him more to a perimeter player, putting him out on the perimeter, let him drive it and shoot the ball from mid-range, just from threes. And the Sid's a big guard and a great, great young man. His sister is here now with the women's program. So he's mentoring her. She is a freshman here at the academy. And Sid now to take that next step. He had 20 points against Nevada last year at home. But then the next night out, maybe didn't score. Okay, we got to be more consistent, and we got to expand our game a little bit on both ends of the floor.
You look at this Mountain West conference and some of the guys last year. I was thrilled to see. Well, first of all, I was thrilled to see Gene Clavel move on.
Yes,
that
no
was
question.
Great.
I went to graduation to make sure he was leaving.
And but it was also awesome as a Mountain West fan to see him catch on, I believe, with Dallas.
Yes, he did.
And then you have Cameron Oliver, who's with Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at just the evolution of this Mountain West conference.
Right.
And it's not. It's always been competitive.
Yeah.
But it hasn't been competitive with NBA level talent. Sure. I don't know if it was. Really, it probably started before that, but like Larry Nance Jr.
Right.
when he up at Wyoming was mm-hmm. kind of the guy that it seemed like after him, a lot of guys, as you have been in this conference for a while, do you see this conference not just in terms of how good the teams are,
right.
but how legit NBA talent comes through
there
this
is.
Conference?
No, there is. You know, I think the league is back on an upswing. Definitely, as you said, I think we'll be a multiple team bid league again, the NCAA tournament. We've, because of the transfer rules now that have loosened up, so many teams are like San Diego State signed a graduate transfer 7-footer out of Cal Berkeley yesterday, Cameron Rooks, who dad played in the NBA, who's a potential NBA player as a 7-footer, will play 1 year. Nevada had two players sitting out for NC State, 6'8 twins, who are NBA caliber players. And then we have some players in the league already who are NBA caliber. UNLV signed a top freshman, top 15 freshman in the country. And Brandon McCoy represented our under-19 team in the World Games. So there's some really good talent coming into this league, which makes it exciting for sure.
Yeah, that UNLV team is just a sleeping giant.
It is. It's
if
getting better and better.
If they can get it figured out.
It can be scary, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It will be. So let's so when do we get started with you guys this year?
Well, we're
year?
Doing the conditioning, as you see right now,
yeah.
and weight training, the running, and then we're on the court with some individual groups right now. We get 2 hours per week per NCAA rules right now. Then October 1 will be our first practice. We'll get started gearing up to our November 12th home opener against Texas State.
Well, there you go. Get your log on to GoAirForceFalcons.com. Set a reminder in your phone.
Please do.
To get some purchase your tickets. One thing that we'd like to see, just as Chris and I, not even Dave prompting us to say that, we'd love to see more and more of you speaking to our audience out at Clune Arena to support not just Dave's team but also Chris's team, because both of them have a lot of really good things going. So hopefully we can end the season as strong as you started.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Dave Pilipovich.
Thank you, guys.
Joining
Thanks,
us
coach.
Here on Drive Time Sports. Thank you so much. Follow him on Twitter @Dave Pilipovich. See him I think he's been complaining about Le'Veon Bell every day of the not signing a long-term deal. He's got Ben retiring at any moment and Le'Veon not wanting to sign with the team. It might be the last stand.
At least they have a quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. After Saturday's game, many of us tweeting, texting back and forth, believing that the quarterback competition is all but over. And then after the game, we were dealt a little bit of a blow because Vance Joseph was non-committal. But to be fair, Kyle Sloter was 7-7 in that game, so maybe that's what he was waiting for. But today they saw the tape or whatever they needed to see. Here's Vance Joseph about an hour ago.
After a long, long battle, about a 4 or 5 month battle, actually, we've decided on making Trevor Siemian our quarterback.
It's peanut butter jelly time, peanut butter jelly time, peanut butter jelly time.
Yeah. This is the day that Chris has been dreading his entire life. And the funny thing is that this is actually Vance Joseph singing.
I know, he was doing the dance too. It's crazy.
Oh, Chris. Trevor Siemian has been named the starter of the Denver Broncos. Thank you, Will, for that, by the way. So Vance Joseph naming Trevor Siemian the starter. You saw this. You made your peace over the weekend with this, didn't you?
I made my peace on Saturday. I think I said it. He ran it. I think it was 3 times in a row, and then he missed the open DT, and I'm like, all right, game over. Like, that's a wrap. And you know what? It's funny because here's where I'm at. Who would you say is the second best quarterback on the Broncos' current roster that right now playing?
Not Chad Kelly.
No, don't do that.
It is Paxton Lynch still.
Okay, let's say it is, which I'm not convinced 100% it's true. Yeah, yes, Paxton Lynch, out of all the quarterbacks on the team, has the most athletic ability. But that being said, when you get a backup in the NFL, don't you typically go get a backup that plays similar to your starter so that you don't have to mess around with game plans and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, not all the time, but certainly enough.
It makes it easier, right? Like, why, like, okay, is Kyle Sloter worse than Paxton Lynch?
Yes.
I don't think so. Not today.
So what are you saying?
I'm saying the best two quarterbacks on the team are Trevor Siemian and Kyle Sloter. Is exactly what I'm saying.
Because our poll question today, at Extra Sports 1300 on Twitter, will Paxton Lynch, barring injury, start another game for the Denver Broncos? Right now, 57% of you say no, he won't.
I know, and that's the way I voted. Because we've got Kelly coming next year. And Kelly's got this whole year to just watch. And he's not only got Trevor Siemian to look at what he needs to do, the intangibles. He gets to look at Paxton Lynch on what not to do. Don't pull out the Xbox. You know, like, that's what happened. All the players were
that
saying
is,
it.
Do you
that was the
this,
issue
this
last
is
year.
Why, this yes. is why he Paxton Lynch lost it.
Yes.
Is because he didn't work hard enough.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying he doesn't care enough. I think that's it. And I think that's the
But does Trevor Siemian strike you as a guy that
yes.
cares enough?
Oh yeah. This
well,
is a
I'm
guy that's
saying,
got a chip on his
does
shoulder.
Does Paxton look that much more aloof than Trevor
yes.
Siemian?
Yes, aloof, yes. Okay. Absolutely. I think Paxton Lynch and I think like and what I was talking about the competitiveness. Like, have you ever competed against somebody that's a friend? Like, when you're between the lines, you are not rooting for each other. Like, if I'm Paxton Lynch, I want Trevor Siemian to throw 50 picks. But afterwards, we can be friends. We can go to Wendy's or whatever. Get a cold Frosty, whatever.
It was striking, to your point, it was striking to see the two of them. And I know they're buds, and I get it. And it's preseason, everything like that. But it was, and I'm sure many of you out there listening felt the same way, like, why is Paxton Lynch giggling so much? Like,
right.
Trevor Siemian went out, and the way I, at the top of the show, the way I described it, Paxton Lynch put himself on the ropes. You know, a boxer
yeah.
that kind of
You're right.
Backing up and stuff, and he ends up kind of pinning himself in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what Trevor Siemian did, his first drive out there on the field, was hit Paxton Lynch with an uppercut in the form of a touchdown pass to Marlon Brown.
Right.
It was a great pass. Mm-hmm. It was a cannon of a pass, too.
Yeah.
It wasn't a little floater or anything like that. He fired it to Marlon Brown. And we all thought at that point that was it. And you said you thought a little bit before that,
mm-hmm.
but certainly Paxton Lynch didn't do anything to win the job. But I think Siemian really, for the first time, really went out and won the job.
Well, he was winning
the job by default leading up to that point.
Just not making mistakes. Yeah,
right.
He didn't do anything.
He made an aggressive throw and a great pass for a touchdown right out of the gate, and I think that salted it away for him, unless he all of a sudden turned into Blake Bortles. We knew this. So here's – you mentioned about Paxton Lynch and whether Kyle Sloter is the second-best quarterback on the team. I still believe that Paxton Lynch is the second-best quarterback on this team, and I think that – the Broncos will rue the day if they get rid of Paxton Lynch and Trevor Siemian gets hurt and in comes Kyle Sloter.
Why? Because he's going to go play Xbox in Cincinnati or somewhere like Jacksonville.
But I'm just saying that if you go to Kyle Sloter, it's going to be even worse against real live first team NFL.
But none of these guys are Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, and that's the thing with me for Trevor Siemian. If he goes out there 9-7, 10-6 next year, like I feel like Trevor Siemian is the quarterback for the Broncos the next 5-6 years. Mm. That's the part that makes me sad.
And something we were talking about off air before the show started today, and we're here at Air Force Falcons camp, so I think it's an apropos analogy here. I don't know what the contract situations of the two guys are.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure Wheels will let us know because he's good like that. But the way I look at the Broncos quarterback situation now, excuse me, is that Paxton Lynch is a freshman and the starter is a sophomore.
Yes.
It's like when is Paxton Lynch going to get his chance unless it's injury? And you can't plan for that. I know Trevor Siemian has been banged up and he played all last year hurt.
Right.
But you can't plan on an injury happening and then you're going to, what, Tom Brady, Trevor Siemian? Like it's like Paxton Lynch. Now Paxton Lynch is basically a year younger in experience than Trevor Siemian. And I assume their contracts are 1 year apart.
Right.
So I don't know what the Broncos want to do, but if I'm the New Orleans Saints, if I'm the Jacksonville Jaguars, if I'm a team that one of two things, either A, has a terrible quarterback situation like the Jaguars, or I'm a team like the Saints that is never bad enough to draft high enough to get a quarterback, and Drew Brees is approaching his 40th birthday, I call up John Elway and I say, what do you want? What do you want for Paxton Lynch? Because if I'm a different team that has an aging quarterback and doesn't have a first-round pick like Patrick Mahomes, save for the Kansas City Chiefs
right.
sitting behind my starter,
mm-hmm.
Paxton Lynch looks interesting. Paxton Lynch would look interesting to me.
And
but
I wouldn't
I don't
be
know
opposed
what the motiva-
to that. If
but
I'm
I don't know what
way.
The motivation is for the Broncos to deal
They got
with.
Too many. Like, Chad Kelly's going to be interesting. Like you said it. We're all assuming that the Broncos are going to go after a veteran next year, or even maybe someone that's not – maybe
right,
someone in the contract.
Right, there will be guys, Kirk Cousins,
yeah.
Matthew Stafford.
Yep.
These are guys that will probably be free agents, and the Broncos have to make a lot of moves in order to afford those guys. But I wouldn't put – when it comes to free agency, I put nothing past John Elway.
No.
Nothing is impossible with John Elway in free agency. So I don't know. I mean, that's something that we can spin forward as the week progresses in terms of what now for Paxton Lynch. But at the moment, it's Trevor Siemian's job, and Vance Joseph says that's permanent. Nothing Paxton can do in practice or in a game from here on out is going to change that. Couple of you real quick. We'll get to your text messages before we get to Sam Farnsworth. Paul came in right away. I want to get to his. Paxton was not pro-style ready. It takes time. Trevor had the help of Manning his first year. Paxton had no one. Jason coming in. Paxton Lynch reminds me of Joey Harrington. He is just awful. And then we got one text that we'll have to wait till later because it's a little bit longer. Here's the parting thought that I will think if you're John Elway today, because there's no doubt that John Elway in some way is disheartened by this because he invested a lot in Paxton. Does he want to win football games above all else? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But he would have liked Paxton Lynch to be the guy. So now he's not. So John Elway, you got to believe he's a little bit disheartened at this point. But here's what I tweeted out over the weekend, and we'll expand on these thoughts later on in the show. The Broncos did this to themselves because they were coming off of a Super Bowl championship, and it's a very difficult position to be in.
Yeah.
You know you're not a Super Bowl contender coming back. At least I think most sane people thought
that.
The
defense was, but nobody else was.
But nobody thought – we thought at best it was – that they would run up against it. They weren't going to beat the Patriots again, right?
We thought they were going to make the playoffs, though.
Okay, so they're in this position, and they draft Paxton Lynch. And instead of doing what most, not all, most NFL teams do when they take a quarterback in the first round, and they just hand them the keys and say, we're going to ride or die with you. You will go be there through your ups and downs because we'll be better off for it in the long run. They decided that we have this championship caliber defense that we don't want to
waste it. Yeah.
Right? So we're going to go only with the guy that makes the fewest amount of mistakes. That's how we're going to win. We're not going to put this rookie in and have him learning on the job and having those ups and downs and throwing the ball away and getting picked off and guiding us to a 6-10, 7-9 season, which isn't good enough to make the postseason. They went with Trevor Siemian, and now they've made their bed, and now they need to lie in it. Now Trevor Siemian, you can't get him off the field because he's never going to change. He's only going to be better. He's not going to regress. So at worst, he's a guy that makes no mistakes but can't move your team down the field. At best, he's the guy you saw on Saturday, that he's going to make one really good throw, and maybe it's a throw to win a game. But he's going to be steady, solid, and he'll make maybe a play or two, and maybe they'll be at clutch times, maybe they'll be early in the game, but he's never relinquishing this to Paxton Lynch.
No.
He just never will. And so that's the Broncos' own doing, in my opinion. I was calling for Paxton Lynch to start last year because that's what you do. Not everyone is Aaron Rodgers.
They overthought everything.
You don't sit behind a quarterback for 3 years and come out on the other side ready to go. It just, that's not the way today's NFL works. Oh, Wheels letting us know Paxton has a 4-year contract with a 5th-year option in 2020. Trevor, a 4-year contract, free agent in 2019. So basically, the analogy stands. Basically, Trevor Siemian's contract runs out in 2019, and by then, Paxton Lynch will have sat on the bench for 4 years.
I'll pass on that.
Time to put in those transfer papers.
Counting down to kickoff of the high school football season. This is 25 Teams in 25 Days on Drive Time Sports.
25 Teams in 25 Days continues with the Mitchell Marauders, who went 3-7 last season. Joining me now to talk about expectations for 2017 is Corey Anderson, entering his third season at the helm. Coach, how are you today?
Doing well, sir. Thank you. And you?
Doing great. Glad to have you on. As you enter your third season, do you feel like you have been able to put your imprint on this program and instill the values into your players that you'd like to see them have?
Well, absolutely. Anytime you have changeover, it's a new system in every way, offense, defense, but also in off the field and how we handle ourselves and the business that we do. And, I absolutely feel like I got a junior class that's been with me 3 years. It's pretty large. And, of course, the seniors have had an opportunity to adjust to what we're trying to do. And, like I said, I really do feel like it's starting to be – sorry about that. it's starting to be the way we want it to be as far as the conduct and the way we go about our business and the beliefs that these kids have in themselves and in the program.
Could you elaborate a little bit more on that? What specifically are the characteristics that you want your players to have?
Well, you know, in the past, I feel like these kids have felt that that maybe playing football here was a right, not a privilege. And we came in and raised the level, raised the bar of the quality of the program, and then turned around and said, you know, it is a privilege to play for this program. And you guys have to rise to meet it with the academics, with the way you conduct your business off the field, you know, trying to change not just our team, but the community of Mitchell itself, you know, from the inside out. And, you know, like I said, we've asked them to be winners off the field as well. You know, you can't win on the field if you're not a winner off of it. You know, winning is a habit, you know, and so we talk about that daily, that it won't show up on the field until you're the right kind of person off of it as well.
Mitchell head coach Corey Anderson joining us, 25 teams in 25 days. You look at last season, it was kind of feast or famine. Other really than that Woodland Park game, it was either you guys ran the other team out of the stadium or vice versa. I would imagine that while you'll take the 20-point victories, overall you want more consistency and to be competitive in every single game. How do you achieve that?
Well, it comes with believing in yourself first. We just as a team, you know, when we started getting down, they didn't have the belief that they could come back, and so you see the differentiation in points being quite high both ways. Mm-hmm. You know, when we got out in front, we did great running out front. You know what I mean? But they have to understand that all the hard work that they've been doing and the off-season program that we have put in is going to pay off, and that they have to have confidence that no matter what happens in the game, we're going to be able to push back, fight back, and stay in it. And, you know, we really are absolutely going in the right direction, numbers-wise, every way, shape, and form. So it's that last piece is believing, and that's what we're trying to build right now.
Putting last names on the back of jerseys is not really something that's done at the high school level, but with all the turnover, big senior class last year, big incoming freshman class, you got so many new faces, maybe you need the names on the back of the jerseys just to keep these guys straight. But in all seriousness, that's got to be very exciting on one hand, but also a little bit nerve-wracking and challenging to figure out where these guys who haven't had a lot of playing time at the varsity level, where they can fit in for you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've had a huge influx. I mean, like I said, we finished the season last year at 52 kids in the whole program, and we're sitting right now at almost 80. Mm. And so, yeah, tons of new faces. A big freshman class came in. But again, I've got, you know, a junior class that's just now coming into its own that for 3 years has understood what we require and who we're going to be. You know, your team has to have an identity. And I feel like this class is going to step in very strong, both seniors and juniors. So, yes, we lost a ton of talented kids last year, and that doesn't always bode well, but I feel like there's a renewed energy and a renewed focus in these young men, and honestly feel fairly positive about how things are going to go this year.
I got to imagine that leads to pretty much open competitions up and down the roster. I do want to ask about one in particular, and that's quarterback. Where are you going with that?
We've got a junior who's been with me for 2 years and understands our passing system very, very well. His name's Thane Duzenak, and I mean, you can't get a better quarterback name than that, so I feel like we're in pretty good shape there. But he's an extremely good leader. You know, one of those guys with that quiet confidence, doesn't need to say a lot, but everybody knows he's got it. He's got that it factor. So leadership-wise, I think we're in pretty good shape with him at the helm. You know, he steps into the huddle and everybody's ready. So couldn't be more pleased with that and how well I think he's going to do.
You look at the conference you played in last year, a couple of surprises, but they're not going to be surprises this year. Each and every week, it's going to be a grind for you guys to get victories within this conference.
Absolutely. But, you know, that's what we talked about. You know, when we make the playoffs this year, we'll have definitely earned it. And no one will question it because we're going to have to go through what I consider the toughest 3A division, obviously, a conference in the state. You know, we had the state runners-up last year in Discovery Canyon. Lewis Palmer went deep in the playoffs. Falcons just 2 years removed from the 4A playoffs. And, you know, Canyon City, they get in the playoffs on a regular basis. So that's in Woodland Park. So, you know, I wouldn't have it any other way. If you're going to test your mettle, if you're going to be a champion, then you got to take on the tough teams in order to get there, you know?
Mitchell opens the season with a pretty good Thomas Jefferson team. That will be a 4 o'clock kickoff on Friday, September 1st. Again, 4 o'clock, there's a doubleheader at D20 Stadium. Marauders get the first half of that. Corey Anderson, thanks so much for the time and best of luck this season.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time.
Corey Anderson, head coach at Mitchell, joining us here. 25 teams in 25 days. We are still plugging along. We have about a little less than a dozen teams remaining here in the next couple of weeks that we need to get covered. Palmer Ridge, Air Academy are a couple of the teams that I've been speaking with, trying to line up schedules, and we will hear from each and every one of the area coaches as we count you down to the premiere of the second season of Football Night in the Spring, September 2nd, right here on Extra Sports 1300.
This is Extra Sports 1300.
Joined by the head coach of the Air Force Falcons. Think of a text of the day, by the way.
Yes,
Chris, while
I will.
Waiting. Troy Calhoun joins us now. Coach, how was it today?
You know what? It's really good. I'll tell you, especially from up here, you talk about the guys that Flat got it figured out. Here we are looking at, you know, the beauty of the Rockies. I'm sure you were up here a little bit earlier, probably had your special glasses on to see how much the sun was covered.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it gets, for some reason, it starts to crackle, you can bolt right inside the indoor. You guys have picked a, this is an unbelievable location to host.
This isn't our workplace. This is your workplace. How jealous are we of you that you get to come to work here every day?
Well, you would until you have a headache each day. You know, you wonder why out there. You know, as soon as I came here, I thought, God, this is pretty good now.
It is.
You're down there on that grass, and you're wondering why the corner's not taking any speed off the outside receiver when you're playing cover two, or, you know, how we haven't handled the ball real well lately. So you know, you go up in this area and you guys changes your perspective, I guess.
You can't see all that
good up here. I tell you what,
absolutely.
Before we get into your team, I was watching the television as I tend to do, and I guess AT&T Sportsnet has a new color analyst next to Drew Goodman. How fun was that? Yeah, you were in your element, Coach, yesterday. You love talking baseball.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'll tell you what, guys. It doesn't take too much to get me rolling on the Rockies. Really, that's our family. And those guys, I mean, just professionals. I mean, extremely sharp. You always enjoy whenever they put a, you know, whenever they're a part of a telecast, both Jeff and Drew. And it always helps a little bit when you got a competitive team like the Rockies are this year, too.
But you didn't bring them a win yesterday.
Well, you know, then maybe we need to stay up there a little longer, right?
So there you go.
Maybe we've been doing too much coaching or not focusing on enough about, you know, ways to generate a few more runs. We're trying to generate a few touchdowns
right,
out here.
There you go.
So, Coach, you've had ups and downs as the coach here. Bud Black's going through kind of a little lull right now. As a coach, what do you do to get the team going again?
Well, you know, it's the reality of sports. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're in a really, really competitive environment, you're going to go through stretches that are quite, quite difficult. And I remind our guys all the time, you know, hey, guys, this season, there's all kinds of problems and difficulties and rough stretches and adversity that's going to be that's a part of playing,
right?
And you just got to find a way to keep pushing and grinding and you know, pound your way through, and if you do a pretty good job of that, then actually there's a way where it can make you stronger. And yeah, probably more than else, it just reminds you that maybe if you win a game or two games in a row, you know, you realize, hey, let's not get too full of ourselves. Let's go back to work here. And when you drop a couple, let's not drop our chin rather than focusing on working. And that's, any more than anything else, that's where you got to be dialed in, is just to keep pounding away and keep grinding and fundamentally see if you can find some ways to get a little bit better.
Right.
And to that end, where are you guys at now? We got VMI here in just a couple of weeks' time. Are you ahead of where you thought you'd be? Are you behind? Where are you at?
Well, you got to ask me. It depends on the minute. You know, really, hey, we've done a ton of work during the month of August, and we needed to. I mean, let's be – you know, let's be candid. I think anytime you have to replace 10 of 11 starters on defense, you know, and some of those guys were pretty splendid football players. Yeah. You start talking about Weston Steelhammer and Roland Latipo and Haji Dunn and Jacob Onyechi. And, I mean, just go through all the way through the lineup. You know, Sam Byers and Ryan Watson. And then offensively, you know, the production, probably the most prolific and productive wide receiver in the history of Service Academy football. And Jalen Robinette and Jacoby Owens rushed for over 3,000 yards the last 3 years. And DJ Johnson and Shane Davern were bulls. I mean, just really prototypes for what we wanted at the fullback position. And all those guys are gone. And it's starting over.
That sounds ominous when you put it like
So when I come up here, I'm looking for guys that still have eligibility.
Right.
There you go. Do you guys have at least a few games left in?
Right.
You know, I'll say this. I mean, I do. Each group's got its own little verve and chemistry to them. Mm-hmm. These guys do like football. These guys do work quite well. Yet, you know, and if you had to say, okay, you only get one guy on defense that's going to have a lot of experience, I'd like for it to be your inside linebacker, Grant Ross, which we do have.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, on the flip side of the ball, if you said, hey, you know, if there's one spot maybe you had to pick, I do think our quarterbacks have played, both Nate Romine and Aaron Werthmann have played quite a bit of football. So, you know, we're making some progress. You know, sometimes it's two steps forward and one back, and we just got to keep heading forward.
Yeah, how is Arion Werthmann? A lot of people outside of the academy interested to see, because for obvious reasons, right? You lead a team on a six-game win streak. People are excited to see what you can do the next year. How has he looked?
I'll say this. I mean, I think he's been extremely focused, quite determined to elevate all areas of his game, and a guy that's, I don't want to say obsessive, but he is, it means a great deal to him to improve his craft, you know, whether that's as a ball handler, to being aware of the strengths or maybe some of the weaknesses of each front or coverage, and to improve his throwing too. So he's been a joy to be alongside the coach.
Well, VMI coming up, in, like I said, in just a couple of weeks. The Mountain West is going to be as strong as ever, and we're excited to see how it all shakes out. Wish we had more time with you today, Coach, but we'll be out here two more days, so we'll probably come pester you.
Well, I'll tell you what. Actually, we're going to switch spots. I'm going to come up here, and you guys, I'm going to give you this whistle, and you can go down to the grass for a while.
That sounds good.
I'll go coach the water boys.
Hey, love having you guys up here, and you know how much it means. I mean, just in general, I mean, to see all the different activities you view on the field, whether it's intramurals, the soccer team, whether it's seeing lacrosse, you guys picked a good seat right here.
Yeah, awesome. We most certainly did. Troy Garnhart gets the credit for that. But, Coach, really appreciate the time. Thanks for
stopping
by.
Thank you.
There's Troy Calhoun. Stay tuned. After the top of the hour, we have Drive Time Overtime here on Extra Sports.